RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can also listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz. Or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id.
Hello listener, welcome back to our English program of our Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Today's edition will bring you first our news, followed by commentary, today in history, focus, headline news, and news in brief. We'll continue our segment with Indonesian Wonder and Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia. To conclude our program for today, we'll present to you our daily segment Music Corner. Well, listener, that was our program summary for today. This is Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Stand by now for the news.
Voice of Indonesia with the news.
Here's the news read by Rahman. First headlines. Investment in Indonesia continues to grow. Police to intensify patrols on Ramadan. Now the news in detail. Investment in Indonesia continues to grow in spite of the economic slowdown in the country. Chief of the Investment Coordinating Board, BKPN, Frankie Sibarani said on Monday. He made a statement after visiting 8 investment projects in Banten and Central Java from June 9 to 12. These projects are among samples of 100 investment projects that were inspected to check whether they could run smoothly. Chief Sibarani added that the Investment Coordinating Board would provide assistance to complete the investment projects and facilitate the settlement problems faced by investors in the realization of investment in Indonesia. If the investment plan of 50.7 trillion rupiah can be realized soon, there will be as many as 10,000 employment opportunities, he pointed out. If the investment projects can be completed soon, there will be potential for export worth around $800 million every year, and the substitution of imports amounting to $810 million annually, he affirmed. Moreover, investment activities are expected to spur the acceleration of development in the region and to encourage economic growth, he said. Jakarta provincial government and the police had been making preparation to welcome the Ramadan month. Jakarta police spokesperson, Commander Muhammad Iqbal, on Monday said that the police have carried out various activities to welcome Ramadan. Iqbal said regular patrols and raids are conducted on the Pride Crackers and Brews. The governor will monitor markets, food, and others, said Iqbal. The raids, which had been carried out since 3 weeks ago, have resulted in confiscation and elimination of dozens of brews. Regarding sweeping activities conducted by certain organizations ahead of Ramadan, Iqbal said they should refrain from carrying them out. Iqbal also asked people to maintain security and order in their own environment. The rule of Kamtipnas or police public order officers is strengthened. Sour or breakfast on the road is allowed as long as it does not cause disorder, said Iqbal further. To commemorate the ASEAN Dengue Day on June 15 and to implement the program towards Jakarta free of dengue fever, Jakarta Governor Basuki Cahayapurnama released on Monday basis of Dengue Lava Monitoring Officer or Jumantik, which will go around Jakarta. Governor Basuki said counseling or socialization is important because all people can be infected with dengue fever. Mosquito larvae live in a clean water rather than in the dirty water. It could happen in our middle-class apartments, gardens, and mansions. But sometimes we do a lot. Jumantik or mosquito larvae monitoring officers to come into their home. Socialization is very important because we could also be infected with dengue. According to Governor Basuki, the socialization will be supervised by Lura or sub-district heads. In addition, within 4 months, the buses will go around Jakarta. There are 43 points or locations to be visited, such as schools, parks, houses, offices, and train stations. the bases are carrying 20 mosquito lepra monitoring officers. According to WHO data, Indonesia was ranked the second highest dengue cases in 2004-2010 among the 30 endemic regions in the world. The rupiah interbank rate in Tuesday's first session increased by 3 points to 13,323 rupiah per US dollar front, 30,326 rupiah in the previous trade. The strengthening was made possible by the surplus register on the Indonesian balance of trade in May. This condition raised optimism on the liquidity of dollar on the domestic market. Somil Sukritas economist Rangga Cipta said, as quoted by Antara News Agency. However, Rangga said there were worries over the poor achievement of the country's imports as compared to improvement in exports. This situation would likely pose negative sentiments against sluggishness in the economy, he said. Meanwhile, Bank Himpunan Saudara Foreign Exchange Market Observer Rulinopa said that the fall in imports saw there was a sluggishness in demand for production materials in the domestic market because of slow economic growth this year. Ruli hoped disbursement of the government infrastructure budget in the second half of the year would be more optimal so as to help push Indonesia's economic development forward. This news is coming to you from the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. The House of Representatives Commission 7 and the Energy Minister during a working meeting on Monday approved Indonesian oil production target of between 800,000 and 830,000 barrels per day to deliberate the 2016 state budget. Energy and Mineral Resources Minister Sudirman Said considered the figure realistic based on this year's oil output so far. Monday's working meeting was the third between the ministry and Commission 7, which oversees the country's energy sector. Indonesian current oil production stands at 802,000 barrels per day on a monthly average of around 70,000 per day on yearly average, according to Minister Spokesperson Dadan Kustiana. The figure is still below domestic demand, which is recorded at 1.43 million barrels per day. To cover the gap, the government imports oil from various countries. Monday's meeting also saw the government and the legislature approve a subsidy 1,000 rupiah or 7 US dollar cent per liter for gasoline and diesel. If we don't push that have inundated Kampar Regency area province for the last 2 days have caused flooding and landslides and isolated hundreds of residents in the villages of Sungai Santi and Dua Spakat in Kampar Kiri Hulu district. The only road to the villages was cut by landslides in 5 spots, the district chief head Nusun Ashal said on Monday, adding that there were no reports of any injuries in the incident, which is estimated to have caused hundreds of millions of rupiah in damage. Nusum said 150 families in the two villages could face food shortages if there was no immediate help. According to district data, at least 15 houses, at most an elementary school building and a bridge, were badly damaged by the flooding. Meanwhile, the Kampar Disaster Mitigation Agency Emergency Division Head M. Nasir said that his agency had been unable to reach the areas due to topographical difficulties. The last item, at least 6 communities devoted to river conservation in Jakarta crowned Senior Actor Slamet Raharjo as the Indonesian River Ambassador just recently. The 6 communities include Kali Chote, Gajah Wont, Winongo, Bedok, Kuning, and Tambak Boyo, which all under Pemerhati Court community. The actor was inaugurated in modest way under the set of tree by Kode River in Jatis Harjo, the Jati Sub-District Yogyakarta. Slamet was elected to help campaign for river conservancy down to the grassroots where cultural effort is needed. According to Slamet, instead of just linking with environmental perspective to force people away, river conservation can be done in tourism and cultural field. Agus Mariono, a river expert and lecturer at Gajah Mada University, Yogyakarta, said Slamet was elected because he is known for his integrity and is capable of translating science language into plain language. The main subject of the river conservation remains residents around the river, who needs a figure with more flexible language, Agus said. That's news from the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
Here is today's commentary on the development of industrial estate outside Java continues to be done. I'm Dalat Pani. Currently, the Indonesian government is working hard to continue pushing the development efforts of new industrial areas, especially outside Java. Until now, the number of industrial estates in Indonesia is recorded at 74 industrial zones with a total land area of approximately 30,000 hectares. However, the location of the industrial areas is still concentrated in Java Island. The number of industrial areas in Java is 19,201, or about 83.04% of the total, while in Sumatra and Kalimantan, only 2,402 and 382, or 10.39% and 1.65% respectively. While the rest areas scattered in central and eastern Indonesian regions of Sulawesi, Maluku, and Papua, these conditions would lead to industrial development gap between regions in Indonesia. To overcome this gap, as well as efforts to accelerate the deployment and industrial equalization to all parts of Indonesia, the government has launched a program of development of new industrial areas outside Java in the next 5 years. The government has shown its seriousness to build industrial areas outside Java. The seriousness of the government in establishing industrial zones outside Java is proved by the construction of 24 seaports. There are several obstacles in developing industrial areas outside Java. Some obstacles include infrastructure and human resources. Infrastructure outside Java is currently inadequate in establishing industrial zones. Therefore, supporting infrastructure such as roads, railroads, ports, conditions are less than adequate. Then the second constraint is human resources. The ability of labor or human resources trained in this area is still lacking. These conditions also make the growth of industrial areas outside Java Island is not as aggressive as in Java. In addition, as disclosed by Ministry of Industry, the construction and development of industrial zones in regions outside Java Island is still constrained by investment. During this time, local governments have a great desire to develop industrial zones in their respective regions, but it is still hampered by investors who want to invest. Building industrial zones require enormous funds and involving investors from within and outside the country. To establish industrial zones, according to the Ministry of Industry, takes a minimum of 1,000 hectares of land, including the supporting infrastructure. In fact, this 1,000 hectares of land still to be coupled with about 200,000 to 300,000 square meters to build public facilities. The central government needs to continue to encourage the development of industrial zones in regions outside Java with incentives such as tax reductions and others. The local government also needs to continue its efforts to attract investors to invest in the development of industrial areas outside Java. In its efforts to attract investors, the local government should cut a long licensing process. Well, listener, that was commentary.
Today in history, a compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
This is RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with Today in History, a regular segment which brings back people and events from this date in the past as recorded in history. So let's start with 1963. Soviet space program Vostok 6 mission. Cosmonaut Valentina Tereshkova becomes the first woman in space. Valentina Vladimirovna Tereshkova was born on March the 6th, 1937. She is the first woman to have flown in space, having been selected from more than 400 applicants and 5 finalists to pilot Vostok 6 on June the 16, 1963. In order to join the Cosmonaut Corps, Tereshkova was only honorarily inducted into the Soviet Air Force, and thus she is also become the first civilian to fly in space. Before her recruitment as a cosmonaut, Tereshkova was a textile factory assembly worker and an amateur skydiver. After the dissolution of the first group of female cosmonauts in 1969, she became a prominent member of the Communist Party of the Soviet Union, holding various political offices. She remained politically active following the collapse of the Soviet Union and is still regarded as a hero in post-Soviet Russia. Next is 2000. From the year 2000, Israel complies with United Nations Security Council Resolution 425 22 years after its issuance, which calls on Israel to completely withdraw from Lebanon. Israel does so except the disputed Sheba farms. United Nations Security Council Resolution 425, adopted on March 19, 1978, 5 days after the Israeli invasion of Lebanon, called on Israel to withdraw immediately its forces from Lebanon and establish the United Nations Interim Force in Lebanon or UNIFIL. It was adopted by 12 votes to none. Czechoslovakia and the Soviet Union abstained and China did not participate. It was 22 years after the resolution that Israel finally complied with the UN Security Council Resolution 425. Over now to 2010, Bhutan becomes the first country in the world to institute a total ban on tobacco. The Tobacco Control Act of Bhutan was enacted by Parliament on June 16, 2010. It regulates tobacco and tobacco products, banning the cultivation, harvesting, production, and sale of tobacco and tobacco products in Bhutan. The Act also mandates that the government of Bhutan provide counseling and treatment to facilitate tobacco cessation. Premised on the physical health and well-being of the Bhutanese people, important elements of the gross national happiness, the Tobacco Control Act recognizes the harmful effects of tobacco consumption and exposure to tobacco smoke on both spiritual and social health. Well, that was Today in History over Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. I'm Anna Trijayakasih.
Today in History, a compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Focus, daily news and events.
This is RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with Focus. For today's edition, it's on Indonesia becomes a member of the FAO Council. Again, stay tuned in www.voi.co.id. Indonesia was confirmed as a member of the United Nations Food and Agriculture Organization FAO Council for the period 2015-2018 in a plenary session of the organization. The membership officially started as the end of the implementation of the 39th FAO conference in Rome, Italy recently. Multilateral First Secretary at the Indonesian Embassy in Rome, Royhan N. Wahab, revealed that there were 119 FAO member countries present at the plenary session. Indonesia was one of the 6 representatives of the Asian countries confirmed as a member of the Council. Wahab said that the existence of Indonesia as a member of the FAO Council is very important. It will be giving an opportunity for Indonesia to better contribute to the formulation of global policies in the field of food security, nutrition, and sustainable agriculture development in accordance with the national interests. Related to that, Secretary General of the Indonesian Ministry of Agriculture, Hari Priyono, who led the Indonesian delegation to the 39th FAO conference in Rome, said Indonesia was also a recipient of the Millennium Development Goals or MDGs award along with 71 other member states. According to Hari, the achievement of the Indonesian government in reducing the number of its poor population from 23.4% in 1999 to 11.4% in 2013 was recognized by the FAO as the first achievement of the MDGs. Indonesia emphasized the importance of government support in increasing investment in agriculture. The increase is an effort to break the cycle of poverty and hunger in rural areas by strengthening the independence of the countryside through sustainable agricultural development and social protection. Various government policies and programs that have proven successful in developing sustainable agriculture, production, and productivity. Among others, through national development programs such as Region Sustainable Food House, Food and Rural Mandiri National Community Empowerment Program or PNPM, And until 2013, the PNPM program has benefited 60 million people of Indonesia through thousands of projects in rural and urban areas. Meanwhile, Multilateral Minister Counselor of the Indonesian Embassy in Rome, Tazwin Hanif, said Indonesia was previously a member of the FAO Council in 2012 to 2014. Indonesia's position was then replaced by Malaysia. According to Tazwin, Indonesia's re-entry as one of the members of the FAO Council for the period 2015-2018 showed a high level of trust from Asian countries towards the role of Indonesia in one important organ in the FAO. Indonesia, during the first half of 2015, was the chairman of the Asian Regional Group in FAO. It was the role and leadership of Indonesia as chair of this group that gained the trust and was assessed positively by other member states. Furthermore, Tazwin said that Indonesia's membership is considered to be very strategic since FAO Council is the highest organ under the FAO Conference, which makes important decisions in order to achieve the strategic goals of FAO as the world's food and agriculture agency. FAO Council is the executive body under the conference, which has a function to control and supervise the affairs of FAO, including the determination of the work program and budget, business administration, finance, and legal affairs. Under the rules of FAO, to support the execution of their duties, the FAO Council may establish working committees such as Program Committee, Finance Committee, and Committee on Legal and Constitutional Affairs. Well, that was focused today on Indonesia becomes FAO Council member again.
Listener, it's nice to be with you again. I'm here, Mana Rahmana, to inform you some headlines of national newspaper published in Jakarta on Tuesday 16th of June 2015. Let's start highlighting Kompas Daily. In its headline, Kompas writes, 40 kinds of commodities are controlled. The government is preparing a presidential decree on the establishment of and storage of basic goods and essential items. There are 14 principal commodities and important items that will be the focus of the government to control. In the draft presidential decree, besides focusing on control and stabilization of prices, the government has also set maximum limits for the stock of essential goods and other staple ones for at least 3 months' consumption. Meanwhile, Media Indonesia in its headline writes, without a presidential decree, speculators are difficult to be caught. Instead of issuing rules of price controls, the government reverses the old way by carrying out market operations and by threatening the traders not to manipulate the prices and piling up a lot of people's basic needs. In this year's fasting month of Ramadan, President Joko Widodo is about to nationally launch special market operation of rice and sugar in the warehouse at Bulog at Cimindi, Cimahi in West Java on Monday. President Joko Widodo also threatens to take stern action against the perpetrators of staple needs who often manipulate the prices, especially ahead of Ramadan. Listener, Republican newspaper writes, MERS spreads again in Saudi Arabia. With the ongoing outbreak of Middle East Respiratory Syndrome Virus, or MERS, in South Korea, the Arabic flu transmission was reported again in Saudi Arabia. Both governments of Saudi, as well as South Korea and Saudi Arabia, will cooperate to address such incurable disease. Minister of Health of Saudi Arabia recorded that 5 cases of MERS epidemic had been confirmed over the last 6 days. Listeners, we come to an end with the headline of Sindo Daily. In its headline, Sindo writes, the government must immediately prevent layoffs. Business groups have urged the government to immediately save the national economy. In addition to speeding up the spending on infrastructure projects, the government is also expected to issue policies that support business activities. This was stated by a number of business associations after seeing the recent economic slowdown, which has brought about some negative impacts on the business world. Listener, those were some headlines of national newspapers published in Jakarta today. Thanks for listening.
Voice of Indonesia, let's make the world green.
Investment in Indonesia continues to grow in spite of the economic slowdown in the country. Chief of the Investment Coordinating Board, PKPN Frankie Sibrani said on Monday. He made his statement after visiting the investment projects in Banten and Central Java from 9 to 12 of June. Jakarta Provincial Government and the police had been making preparation to welcome Ramadan month. Jakarta Police Spokesperson Muhammad Iqbal on Monday said the police have carried out various activities to welcome Ramadan. To commemorate the ASEAN Dengue Day on June 15 and to implement the program towards Jakarta free of dengue fever, Jakarta Governor Basuki Cahayapurnama released on Monday buses of Dengue Lapar Monitoring Officer or Jumantit, which will go around Jakarta. Governor Basuki said counseling or socialization is important because all people can be infected with dengue fever. The rupiah interbank trade rate in Tuesday first session increased by 3 points to 13,323 rupiah per US dollar from 13,326 rupiah in the previous trade. The House of Representatives Commission 7 and the Energy Ministry during a working meeting on Monday approved Indonesia's oil production target between 800,000 and 830,000 barrels per day to deliberate the 2016 state budget. Heavy downpours that have inundated Kampar Regency area province for the last 2 days have caused flooding and landslide and isolated hundreds of residents in the villages of Sungai Santi and Duas Pakat in Kampar Kiri Hulu district. At least 6 communities deported to river conservation in Yogyakarta, Crown Senior Actor Slamet Rahardjo as Indonesian River Ambassador just recently. The 6 communities include Kali Chode, Gajah Wong, Winongo, Pedok, Kuning, and Tambak Boyo, which all under Pemerhati Code Community. That's news in brief from the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You're still with us, RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz for English program. You can also listen to our broadcast on internet at en.voi.co.id.
You're still tuned to Voice of Indonesia, broadcasting daily from Jakarta on the frequencies of 9525 kHz. You can also listen through our audio streaming at www.voi.co.id. If you have any suggestion or criticism, please drop us a line through Voice of Indonesia PO Box 1157 Jakarta, Indonesia, or to our email address at english@voi.co.id. Listeners, here is our next segment, Indonesian Wonder, and let's speak Bahasa Indonesia.
This is Indonesia. Here is Indonesia. This is Indonesia. You will be delighted to see the beauty of Indonesia for free by taking part in Wonderful Indonesia Quiz 2015. Answer the following questions. 1. When and where was the independence of Indonesia proclaimed? 2. Who read the proclamation text of Indonesia's independence on the radio for the first time? A. Yusuf Ronodipuro. B. Abdul Rahman Saleh. 3. When is RRI's anniversary? 4. Mention 3 tourism places in Indonesia that you want to visit and give the reasons. 5. How do you listen to RRI World Service programs and give the reasons? 6. What programs do you like most? 7. What are your suggestions for Voice of Indonesia's programs? 8. What is your opinion about the website of Voice of Indonesia? Yeah. your answer along with your brief bio data, as well as copy of your passport or passport number and its expired date to voiquiz2015@gmail.com. voiquiz2015@gmail.com before August 11, 2015. You may be the lucky one to get the main prize, which is coming to Indonesia.
Let's listen to various information of Indonesian arts and culture in a daily segment of Indonesian Wonder.
Listener, it is a pleasure to meet you again on Indonesian Wonder, a daily segment featuring tourism, culinary art, as well as art and culture from various regions across Indonesia. In today's edition, we'll introduce you to Yaspan dance, so stay tuned. Listener, Biak Numfor is one of the regencies in Papua Province, the largest island in the chain of small islands in the north of Papua, has abundant and beautiful marine wealth. Therefore, various interesting marine tourism destinations can be found in this district, such as Barito Beach, Parai Beach, and Bosnick Beach. Besides being famous with maritime destination, the district is also rich with art and traditional cultures. We will introduce to you one of them, which is called Yaspan dance, the dance then growing among the people of Biak Numfor. Listener, Yaspan dance is a contemporary dance that describes friendship among the youth of Biak Numfor. Yaspan is a merger of two Papuan dances, namely the Yosim and Pancar dances. Yosim dance originated from the Sairay Gulf or Serul, Waropen. The motion of the dance is similar to Polynesian's dance or the dance from Europe, however, Yosim dance relies on agility of movement and freedom of expression. While Pancar is a dance that developed in Biak Numfor and Manokwari in early 1960s during the Dutch colonial era in Papua. The early history of the dance followed the movements of acrobatic that often passed across the Papua sky. Therefore, a dance that mimicked the movement of acrobatics was originally called Pancar Gas, which then was shortened to Pancar. Since its inception in the early 1960s, Pancar has been enriching its movement from other sources, including from natural movement. Yosim Pancar dance has a vigorous dynamic and interesting movements. Several types of movements are well known, such as Pancar Gas, Gali Gali, Jeff, Pacul Tiga, Seka, and others. The dance movements are not difficult to learn. This has allowed the Yaspan dance to grow rapidly not only in Papua, but in other islands in the archipelago. Yaspan dance is usually shown at Papuan traditional events and the commemoration of the National Day. Moreover, because of its popularity, the Yaspan dance is often exhibited at many events such as reception activities and cultural art festival. Yaspan is also often performed abroad for the invitation events or follow various international festivals. The listener, Yosim Pancar dance has two groups of players, namely musicians and dancers. The dancer consists of more than six persons, so the dance is known as social dance. The dance is usually accompanied by musical instruments such as tifa, a type of drum made of lizard leather. In the process, your span is not only accompanied by tifa, but also other musical instruments such as guitar, ukulele, and acoustic bass or bass tam. The combination of all these musical instruments produce a dynamic music. Customs that used by the dancers clearly show the characteristic of Papuan culture, with accessories such as necklaces made of animal bones. Especially for clothes, every region in Papua has different colors and motifs. Listener, that was Indonesian Wonder for today with a topic about Yospan dance. We will meet again tomorrow with other interesting topics. Sampai jumpa.
Speak Bahasa Indonesia easily and correctly. We present to you Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia.
This is RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, a lesson in Bahasa Indonesia or the Indonesian language which introduces some Indonesia vocabulary and guides you to use them in a conversation. Today's topic is Pesta Perpisahan or in English Farewell Party. First, I'll introduce some Indonesian vocabulary and idioms related to the topic today. I'll say each word slowly twice. You can follow after me. Perpisahan. Perpisahan, farewell. Tidak masuk kerja. Tidak masuk kerja, absent from the office. Pindah kantor. Pindah kantor. Move from the office. Pensiun. Pensiun. Retired. Enam orang, six people. Kenang-kenangan, gift or souvenir. Or memento. Kantor, office. Cincin, ring. Sekarang, now. Membeli, to buy. Kemeja, shirt. Batik, kain, cloth or material. Sambutan, speech. Director. Kesan, impression. Pesan, message. Teman, friend. Membaca doa, to say a prayer. Hiburan, entertainment. Makan, to eat. Bersama, together. Menyanyi, to sing. Next is a conversation on Pesta Perpisahan or in English, Farewell Party, using those words. As usual, I'll say every sentence slowly twice and you can follow after me. The conversation is between Erna and Anna. Besok, jangan tidak masuk kerja. In English, tomorrow don't be absent from the office. Karena besok, ada acara pesta perpisahan. Karena besok ada acara pesta perpisahan. In English, because tomorrow there will be a farewell party. Perpisahan? Siapa yang mau pindah? Perpisahan? Siapa yang mau pindah? In English, farewell party. Who's going to move out? Bukan pindah kantor, tetapi pensiun. Bukan pindah kantor, tetapi pensiun. In English, not moving to another office, but retiring. Besok ada 6 orang yang sudah pensiun. Besok ada 6 orang yang sudah pensiun. In English, tomorrow there will be 6 people retired. Oleh karena itu, kami mengadakan pesta perpisahan. Oleh karena itu, kami mengadakan pesta perpisahan. In English, so we are having a farewell party. Sebagai kenang-kenangan, kantor memberi cincin kepada mereka. Sebagai kenang-kenangan, kantor memberi cincin kepada mereka. In English, as a memento or parting gift, the office will give them each a ring. Sekarang, saya mau membeli kemeja batik dan kain batik untuk kenang-kenangan. Sekarang, saya mau membeli kemeja batik dan kain batik untuk kenang-kenangan. In English, now I'm going to buy a batik shirt and a batik cloth as a parting gift. Apa acaranya? Apa acaranya? In English, what is the program? Sambutan dari direktur. Sambutan dari direktur. In English, there will be a speech by the director. Kemudian menyampaikan kesan dan pesan. Kemudian menyampaikan pesan dan kesan. Then a few message and impression. Dari yang pensiun dan juga dari teman-teman yang mewakili. Dari yang pensiun dan juga dari teman-teman yang mewakili. In English, from those who are retired and from representatives of other friends. Lalu pembacaan doa, hiburan, dan makan bersama. Lalu pembacaan doa, hiburan, dan makan bersama. In English, then prayer together, some entertainment, and lunch. Baiklah, besok saya pasti masuk kantor. Baiklah, besok saya pasti masuk kantor. In English, okay, tomorrow I'll come to the office. Saya mau menyanyi sebagai kenang-kenangan. Saya mau menyanyi sebagai kenang-kenangan. In English, I want to sing as a parting gift. Sekarang saya temani kamu membeli batik. Sekarang saya temani kamu membeli batik. In English, now I'll help you buying the batik. That was Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, a lesson in Bahasa Indonesia on the radio. Until tomorrow then, with another topic, sampai berjumpa lagi.
Is Indonesia. Here is Indonesia. This is Indonesia. You will be delighted to see the beauty of Indonesia for free by taking part in Wonderful Indonesia Quiz 2015. Answer the following questions. 1. When and where was the independence of Indonesia proclaimed? 2. Who read the proclamation text of Indonesia's independence on the radio for the first time? A. Yusuf Ronodipuro. B. Abdul Rahman Saleh. 3. When is RRI's anniversary? 4. Mention 3 tourism places in Indonesia that you want to visit and give the reasons. 5. How do you listen to RRI World Service programs and give the reasons? 6. What programs do you like most? 7. What are your suggestions for Voice of Indonesia's programs? 8. What is your opinion about the website of Voice of Indonesia? Send your answer along with your brief bio data as well as copy of your passport or passport number and its expired date to voiquiz2015@gmail.com. voiquiz2015@gmail.com before August 11, 2015. You may be the lucky one to get the main prize, which is coming to Indonesia.
Music Corner, presenting various kinds of Indonesian music and songs from the Voice of Indonesia.
Hello, listener. Welcome back to Music Corner, a special segment which introduces you to Indonesian music, both traditional and modern ones. In today's edition, I present you Erdian Aji Prihartanto. Well, listener, let's listen to a song entitled Tentang Rasa by Aji. Happy listening.
Sesat menuju hatimu, beri aku jalan yang indah, izinkanku lepas penatku untuk sejenak lelap di bahumu. Dapatkah selamanya kita bersama menyatukan perasaan kau dan aku? Semoga cinta kita kekal abadi sesampainya akhir nanti selamanya. Cinta yang datang perlahan membuatku takut kehilangan. Ku titipkan cahaya terang tak padam di jelah goda dan masa. Dapatkah selamanya kita bersama menyatukan perasaan kau dan aku? Semoga cinta kita kekal abadi sesampainya akhir nanti selamanya. Thank you.
kau dan aku. Semoga cinta kita kekal abadi sesampainya akhir nanti. Selamanya
Erdian Aji Prihartanto, or more popularly known as Anji or Manji, was born in Jakarta on October 5, 1979. He is an Indonesian singer whose dreams of becoming a professional musician since the age of 9 years. But he was ignoring his dream for several reasons. Anji had become a Chinese language teacher in many places. He even became part of the Institute of Certification and Standards, which was initiated by the Indonesian Manpower Ministry, together with a consortium named Taindo. Anji began his career as a professional musician in 2005 as a vocalist named Drive. Drive is a band under the auspices of the E-Motion Entertainment. The band has released 3 albums with Anji before he finally decided to leave Drive. Anji was collaborating with Titi Kamal with a song which he wrote with the title Resah Tanpamu in 2009 and began acting as a soloist. As a solo artist, Anji was influenced by various genres in music, thus he composed various types of songs in 1 album. Anji did not only write songs for himself but also write many hit songs for other artists such as Merindukanmu or Miss You in 2008 for the Massive Band, Cukup Tiga Kata or 3 Words is Enough, which popularized by Firman and Cut Meme, Tak Ada Gading Yang Tak Retak for Gading Martin, and also Resah Tanpamu, which he sang a duet with Titi Kamal. Well, listener, now let's listen to a song entitled Kekasih Terhebat by Anji. Here is the song.
Biarkan aku jadi yang terhebat. Jadilah kamu kekasih yang kuat. Manusia yang paling butuh kamu, membutuhkanmu hatiku. Memalingkan pandang hanya padamu, pada hatimu. Kekasih
jadi yang terhebat. Jadilah kamu kekasih yang kuat.
In 2011, Angie released his debut album as a soloist artist with the title Luar Biasa, with some champion singles such as Kekasih Terhebat and Berhenti di Kamu, and Fofadi Group bands entitled Ternyata Cinta, assisted by duo electronic musicians Battle Smoker. The project started its proximity to the PU Padi band's guitarist, who later released a collaboration single, Ku Tak Salah Melepasmu, in 2012. The song was centered in the PU solo album. Until the end of 2014, Angie released the subtitle album. He worked with several local and international musicians, such as Ming Bridge of Singapore, for the Chinese version of Kekasih Terhebat and Risalah Cinta by Ella Aminuddin of Malaysia. And for the song Cukup Tiga Kata, he rearranged it and sang a duet with Marcella. Angie's album has sold nearly 400,000 copies in Indonesia. 3 years later, Waiting for the Music Industry is Improving, Angie released a second solo album on October 29, 2014, which was distributed by a fast food restaurant. This time, Angie has released 3 singles, Tentang Rasa, Jerawat Rindu, and Hingga Hari Tua. Well, listener, to conclude our musical program for today, let's listen to the last 2 songs, entitled Hingga Hari Tua and Cukup Tiga Kata. Happy listening.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz and 11785 kHz for English program, or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id. Send your criticism and suggestions to en.voi.co.id, or send your letter to Voice of Indonesia, RRI World Service, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat, No. 4 and 5, Jakarta, or P.O. Box 1157, Jakarta 10011, Indonesia. And join us on Facebook, Voice of Indonesia, and Twitter, VoI Indonesia.